Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the episode, Thyroid Hair Loss Connection. We're so glad you've joined us today because, boy, do we have a special treat for you. Today, we're going to be sharing some information about one of our special friends, Jonna. She's going to share a lot about her past history and story of her hair loss and how her thyroid has really kind of taken a back seat and a front seat to this issue. In addition, she also was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition of alopecia areata. So, as I said, you better stay tuned because we have a lot going on today.
Hello, thank you for listening to Thyroid Hair Loss Connection podcast, a science-based, honest, candid conversation about how your thyroid affects your hair. You will learn practical solutions to hair growth, healing your thyroid, and balancing hormones with holistic nutrition approach and the latest treatments. Your hosts, me, Natalia Sanzo, a registered dietitian, aka Nashville thyroid expert, and Kimberly Vaughn, a board-certified trichologist, hair loss specialist, and coach. To stay up to date on the latest topics, make sure to subscribe to our channel. We also cannot do this without you. Send us a question to the link below and tune in each week for the answers. Now, let's head to the show.
So welcome, Jonna, and thank you for joining us on Thyroid Hair Loss Connection today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to kick this off and turn it over to you because we want to hear all about your story and a little bit more information about how you found yourself with HPI Hair Partners and also then ultimately with Natalia Sanzo, our dietitian.
Okay. Well, about 9 months ago, I moved to Tennessee from Colorado, and it was a pretty stressful move. And we had been here about 3 months when, for whatever reason, I was looking at the back of my hair and I saw a small little patch of missing hair, like the size of a quarter. Thought nothing of it. Thought, oh my gosh, this move has been way more stressful than I thought. And we had family issues on top of that. So, of course, I showed it to my husband. I was freaking out. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my hair. And we blew it off as just stress. So, of course, I go to Google and I start taking hair supplements and topicals and oils and everything I could think of to fix it on my own because I thought it was just stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the tiny little quarter size bald spot just grew from there. And by the time I thought to look back at it again, it was, oh, I don't know, how big was it when I finally came to you?
Oh, tennis ball size.
Yeah, yeah. And so when I actually looked at it, and I had my husband take pictures so I could really see what it looked like, of course, I was freaking out. I was not happy. So as most people do, I went to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joke, I would always say, oh, my alopecia, I have alopecia, because I had been thinning anyway from the genetic side of things. And the more I Googled it, I realized that alopecia isn't just you lose your hair from top to bottom. It's there's more to it. So again, I started teasing. I have this other one called alopecia areata, and it was a kind of a joke. But then I knew I had to do something about it. So the only thing I knew to do was to go to a dermatologist. And so I scheduled an appointment, not knowing what to expect. Well, thank goodness it got canceled. And I happened to be going through a local magazine, a lifestyle magazine, and the article that Kimberly, you had written in there about your, about HPI Hair Partners. And so I called immediately. I did not even wait. Well, actually, I emailed and then called like 2 minutes later. Said, I can't wait. I'm anxious. Please get me in. And so I, thank goodness, I was able to get right in. And I don't think I was as upset about it as a lot of people are because I can hide it.
Right.
But I knew it was big. But after going through your website, I realized there's so many different things you can do for hair loss. I thought it was plugs. You know, you go in and they do plugs. And so
you're referring to the old form of hair transplantation.
Yes. I didn't know that there was even such a thing. And all anybody had told me was, oh, they're going to do steroid shots in your head. So I came in there thinking all I'm going to do is shots and you're going to maybe give me some shampoo, hoping that there would be more.
Right, right.
And anyway, from there, you kind of got me going. And in between the time that we did the blood work and I had called Natalia or texted Natalia and all the supplements, the shampoo, you wanted to get started immediately on the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
In between that time, though, I actually found two more small spots. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the one had grown.
So let's break this down a little bit, right? So initially, your cause to call or to search for help was due to the bald spot that you found in the crown.
Correct.
And so that, let's share with the audience and the listeners. So that was actually considered alopecia areata. Mm-hmm. So a form of that autoimmune condition and autoimmune disease that we were talking about. And areata typically is just small little round balding spots. We typically find it on the scalp in through the hair, but we can also see it on the beard. We can see it throughout the body as well. But that was the main reason, right?
Right.
And that showed up, you said, several months after you'd moved to Nashville.
Yes, it was about 3 months after we had got here. We were starting to get settled. And at about the same time, too, my granddaughter, who lives with us, she had a pretty severe case of COVID. And so after that, too, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I am really stressed out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But the other thing you mentioned, so acute loss, right? Aggressive loss in that one spot.
Mm-hmm.
But then had you noticed you were also starting to thin slightly through the frontal hairline and through the top of the head due to maybe some genetics that you had thought you might have?
Yes. And again, that I just played it off as age, family, because I have a sister who has very thin hair. And I just, and humidity, I know my hair does not do well in humidity. So I'm just like, oh.
And you moved to Nashville.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. We'll see how this works out for you.
Well, I think your humidity was better than dry Colorado. So I just played it off as I'm aging. It's the humidity. It's the stress. I never, ever thought that there would possibly be an underlying condition.
Sure.
Until I came to you. And when you said, let's run blood work to find out what the root of the cause is, that was like, I felt so relieved because I knew that you weren't just going to send me on the way with shampoo and shots in my head. Mm-hmm. And then when you recommended Natalia, because I've been on thyroid medication for 5 years, and it's not the Synthroid. Is that the one that's normally...
Yes, the Synthroid, levothyroxine, the synthetic T4, you're actually
right.
On the combination, the T4, T3 medication.
Yeah, I was on what they told me was a natural source.
Mm-hmm. Was she taking NP thyroid?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted the listeners to know. So the NP thyroid, then you were told, Jonna, is more of a natural type
right.
form. And Natalia, you're saying that's a true combination of T3 and T4?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay,
yes.
Good to know.
But I had never had any further testing on my thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, here's the pill. And when I got to Colorado or to Tennessee, the doctor here increased my dosage.
For what reason?
Well, my blood work came back and it was still slightly low. And he kept asking me what my symptoms were. Well, I'm always tired and I just moved. I'm stressed. And, anyway, he just upped it to up.
Okay.
And I didn't really feel any different other than, of course, my hair started to fall out.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
that's kind of a big symptom.
I know. Well, and that's the thing is, had I done something sooner,
don't go there, because you, like many of our listeners, you always feel that it's something you could have done or you should have done. And hair loss is so complicated and so complex. We never want you to feel like any of this is back on you, because it's so important that you reach out for help. And that's the key. And that's what you did. So yeah. That's the reason you're here today.
Well, I feel much better.
Well, we're glad.
Because of you too.
Yes, well, it's never too late. Doesn't matter where you start.
Right.
Never too
right.
late.
Right.
So then let's talk about, so we ran the labs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw those results and saw those reports. So in addition to that, though, we knew that you were still having some issues with your diet and the fatigue and being tired. And I knew, because we now had two forms of hair loss that we were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
One, truly an autoimmune hair loss, and then two, a genetic hair loss. I needed to make sure that we truly did get to the root of the issue. So the other thing we recommended was a hair follicle test.
Mm-hmm.
When that test came back, what was your reaction when you saw the food restrictions?
Well, I was not happy when I saw coffee on the list. I mean, the other stuff, and the list seemed weird to me because it was blueberries, corn, lentils, pistachios, and of course coffee. And there was a couple others on there, but those are the ones that stand out to me. I love coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I just love coffee. Morning, noon, I can drink at night and I can still sleep. So it's never been an issue till you told me it was an issue. And that was the first thing I asked Natalia was, Kimberly told me no coffee. I need to know where coffee fits into this, the grand scheme of everything. But that, the food list, that was the biggest thing of what to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gave me the food list of what to incorporate. And I did a pretty good job as far as not having the foods other than corn. And my reaction was, I don't eat corn. Well, I love chips and salsa, so yes, I do eat corn. And then the other stuff was just what to add in.
Mm-hmm.
And sweet potatoes were on the list. And so I said to my husband, can I have fries, sweet potato fries? Not the same thing. I didn't start adding sweet potato fries, but just leafy greens and the stuff we all know we're supposed to be having. But I was not happy with the foods to omit other than the coffee.
And we worked on it extensively. I think it took us a few weeks to get to the point where you could drink decaf coffee without getting a headache.
Yes.
Do you still continue to do that?
I'm still decaf, yes. And in the beginning, I was in denial. I don't have a problem with coffee. I just like it so much. But I tried to go cold turkey, and that was not good because I ended up with just horrible headaches for days on end. So I reached out to you and you said, well, silly girl, you should have started slowly. So then I just started mixing. I went from, I don't know, like 3/4 to 1/4 decaf and then half and half. And then just got to the point, it took about a month till I got to complete decaf. And now I don't notice really the difference. And I actually enjoy the decaf, the flavor better.
Without the side effects.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that they have sensitivity to caffeine until they quit drinking it. And they don't experience those symptoms anymore. Mm-hmm. But again, they don't attribute it to caffeine.
Right.
So it's very hard to pinpoint unless you run a blood work or something like a hair analysis test, or somebody tells you that and somebody has to put it on your radar. Like Kimberly did that for you. And somebody like me had to push you to, hey, let's do it. Let's try it. It doesn't hurt to try it for 2 weeks. If you have no symptoms, you can go back to your caffeine. But obviously with you, we realized, something was triggering it.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, after the testing that I did with Kimberly, and then I did the further, at that time I hadn't done the testing, but just after talking to you, Natalia, I didn't realize that the underlying issue was more than just, my testosterone was all out of whack because I had been doing the hormone replacement therapy. That was bad. And then how the adrenal health suffers because of the thyroid and all these underlying things and the autoimmune, how everything is so connected. I would have never known that had I just tried to figure it out.
Use Dr. Google?
Yes, that's what I've done. And as far as if I had not came to you, Natalia, I would have tried to figure it out on my own based on the information you gave me.
And I was the bad guy because I told you you couldn't have coffee. Natalia's much nicer than I am. She like gently steps you through the process.
No, it wasn't like that at all. It's just, I just didn't realize that there was that big of a connection. And I knew I didn't feel good. And I still know like the last couple of days I've had a couple of bad days. So I know I need to clean my diet up a little bit more. But I knew that there was something underlying besides just losing my hair and genetic. I knew I wasn't healthy. I could feel that I wasn't healthy. You just blow it off. I'm aging and stressful move and raising a teenager and, everything. I'm like, I'm fine. I just need to go get my hair back.
It's overwhelming to figure all of that on your own. So people tend to not do it at all. So it does take a village. It takes a team to figure the whole system, because it's one, your body is one system. You can't just treat hair loss regardless of your root cause. You can't just treat hair loss on your head, because you have to address your adrenal health, your gut health. We all know how that affects, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about it extensively, how that influences your thyroid and your hair loss. So yes, you have to kind of approach it as a team.
Jonna, so we know a little bit more now about the cause of that spot, right? And that alopecia areata that you had suffered from. We'll talk a little bit more about treatment in a few minutes, but I want to go back now to that thyroid-associated hair loss. Again, you said you did some work with Doc Google, but I wanted to see from there. I know the discussion between you and Natalia talking about that she's been able to be a much gentler influence than I have on giving you the proper diet and making sure that, you know, she's coaching you on how to eat and what to eat. What's going on now with your thyroid? How are those levels? What has been adjusted in the last two and a half months?
Well, and maybe Natalia can explain that a little bit more than I can. I just recently did get the blood work back, and the levels, I believe, were moving.
Much better.
Okay. Moving in the right direction.
Good.
Between the T4 and the T3 and the... It's a lot of information, and so I just looked at the results and saw this area is green and this area is red. So I'll let Natalia explain the red area to me. But overall,
yes, overall, we are moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, when they do get lab work back, the results, they look like you said, oh, if it's green, let's not even pay attention to it. But we do have to pay attention into that normal range, because what if you see a trending down, you know, something that is trending down, that should alert you. That's a red flag, or trending up, because imbalance either, you know, with you, it was hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism, when you're just, you have too much thyroid hormone, both of those imbalances lead to hair loss. So you have to watch the trend. And of course, when we started working together, I ordered more than just your TSH and T4 to check for thyroid, how your thyroid is working. And for me, it was very important for you to understand exactly where you are with your thyroid, not just say, okay, your results came back normal or not, I'm going to increase or decrease your medication. This is not how it should work. You should be aware, why are we running T4? Why are we running reverse T3 or nutrient, checking for nutrient deficiencies? You need to know why omega-3s are important, not just because Kimberly said so or I said so. Mm-hmm. Because if your omegas are low or high, you need to know also what foods to include, or maybe supplements to back off. So I think we spend a lot of time to actually understanding why we're checking what we're checking. And I think that's where, you know, you had a lot of knowledge before you came to me, but you were missing that, the application of that knowledge. And I think that we kind of bridge that gap together, and you're a great student, so it was easier for me. You were doing everything that I was asking you to do, and that's why we see results. But just to kind of remind our listeners why thyroid is so important for hair is because thyroid pretty much runs our whole body. This is our second brain. It has so many functions, and one of those functions is controlling growth. In children, it's just, you know, puberty and everything, bone growth, and of course, hair growth. So when your thyroid is not working properly, either hypo or hyperthyroidism on those spectrums, it stalls or even stops the growth cycle. So when your hair falls out normally in Kimberly, I think we lose, 100 hair strands per day? Is that somewhere?
Well, that is the number that's floating around. But people forget that number is not just the hairs on your head.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. I mean, when we're in treatment with clients, and you know, you can even speak to this, Jonna, once we get the shedding under control, how many hairs do you truly lose a day? 1, 2, 3?
Not much.
That's right? Exactly right.
So I didn't even think about it.
I have a hard time with that statistic because it's not specific to the hairs on your head. It's truly the entire hair throughout the whole body. Many of the hairs on our body are considered vellus hairs, which are baby hairs, and you can't even see them. You know, so it would take a microscope to be able to truly count each one. And so many clients come into us with little baggies of hair that they've been collecting, you know, month after month. And you know, I mean, Johnny, you saw the hair loss falling out in handfuls. And then you're like, oh my gosh, there has to be more than 100 hairs here. Well, certainly, you know. But at the end of the day, we have to be very focused on what was then and what is now and what is truly the normal. And the normal for you, Jonna, the normal for you, Natalia, and the normal for me are all three different. We have different hair lengths. We have different hair colors. We have different processes on our hair. So just because someone says, and this is classic, I love this one, they'll come in and go, look, even the root is attached to the end of my hair. And I'm not making light of it at all, but it's not the root. It's an oil gland. It's a small oil pocket, right, that has been left there. But it is just so important to all of us when we see that massive amount of shedding in the shower or wherever it may be. And sometimes with alopecia areata, when you first see a balding spot, you will comb or brush your hair and you'll get an entire brush full of hair because that area completely releases all at one time. And so we have, as we've shared with our listeners in the past, we're definitely going to dive into these alopecia hair loss conditions more, but it takes an entire episode just for one diagnosis. So, but I think the point we want to make is that, you know, you truly experienced several types of hair loss, right, with multiple underlying causes, genetics, autoimmune, and then a thyroid condition, right? All of these had taken a back seat because you were so concerned about the move, your husband, and your daughter. So all of this plays into a perfect storm is what we refer to it at HPI, because we can't just pinpoint the nature of what happened first. Therefore, we run those tests, the labs, right? Then we also perform the hair follicle test. Natalia's doing such an amazing job assisting all of our folks because the hair follicle test is a very complex test, right? I mean, it's 38 pages worth of, oh, what am I supposed to eat? What am I not supposed to eat? What am I supposed to take in a supplement form? What am I not supposed to take? And as Natalia said, instead of us saying to you, well, this is what we recommend or this is what we suggest, we want to explain why. And then we want to really get to the root of the lab and the blood area to make sure that everything in your body is talking to each other and it's playing very nicely and well together. And that's when the cells start to rebound and proliferate, and that's when the hair starts to grow again. With 8 weeks, 2 months of treatment under your belt, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? How does that mirror or meet your expectations when you first came to HPI?
Well, the hair is growing back, so that is very good news. No more bald spots other than the three, and they all stopped growing, the size of the bald spot. So that's really good. My hair does feel healthier, and I feel better with the supplements. I think the biggest thing for me is just being patient, because to have your hair grow up back from the root, it's not going to be like the same length as my hair. So it is coming back. It's coming in the right direction. And as far as the treatment that I've been doing, other than the microneedling, because it kind of hurts. It's moving in the right direction, and I feel really good about it because I do see progress. Had I started this whole thing with you and hadn't seen progress, then I think I might have been frustrated. Mm-hmm. But because I felt better and my hair started growing back, and it seemed like it was pretty quick. It was just a couple of weeks before it stopped, and you could feel little like prickles, you know, little hairs coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's where I'm at right now. It is coming back gray. It has no color.
That's right.
But again, my hair, I mean, it's gray without being colored. And so I don't have a problem with that. I just go get it colored with the rest of my hair.
So when you talk about the hair coming back and it's gray, I just want to clear something up for a nice visual. So we're talking about two different types of hair loss. The first is being androgenetic alopecia, which is female pattern thinning. So the hair is thinning diffuse throughout the entire top of the head and also the sides and around mm-hmm. the back. When that hair is growing back in, you're seeing gray grow back in much faster. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, different from that, in the areas that were balding from the areata, we perform steroid injections in those areas. How are you doing on seeing some new hair growth in those areas? And what color is that hair?
It's definitely coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. It's not really, it doesn't have any color. That's why I keep having my husband take pictures and I enlarge them so I can see really what's going on there. But it is coming back, and it's coming back kind of patchy in those areas, but mm-hmm. I don't even care because I know hair grows in stages, mm-hmm. right? So I'm just being patient, and I believe I'm down to one more round of steroid shots.
That's right.
And those weren't that bad. I didn't think that was a big deal. It's just the microneedling is a little intense, but I know that's going to give me some of the best results.
Correct. That's right. And then the other thing you're adding in are topical treatments as well as low level laser therapy.
Oh, correct. Yes.
And with this combination approach and also very aggressive treatment format, right? Because mm-hmm. you're also working with Natalia on your diet and making sure that you're eating right. So you've done just remarkably well in a short time of 9 weeks, right? That's the key. But it's just as you're saying, and you're thinking to your mind and you're looking at me going, yeah, Kimberly, but I really wanted it all to grow back already, right? It just takes time. And the little pieces of progress that we're able to share with you, and you're able to see yourself and at home and on your own, or either with your friends telling you how much better your hair looks, or either you having your husband take the pictures of the areata balding spots to where you truly can see some hair growth there, it definitely is encouraging. But that is the hardest part about the regrowth cycle for hair loss. And again, depending upon the form, some treatments for areata are not successful. I mean, we've been very fortunate with you, and I do believe it's because we're also treating the holistic body and the whole self, not just the areata areas.
Right, right. And I think too, so in addition to the supplements that you prescribed for me, and then the supplements that Natalia prescribed for me, in the beginning, that part, trying to figure out the food and the appointments and the topicals and the laser and, you know, all that was involved, it was a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I was going to have the success in having my hair come back, I needed to do what you two were telling me to do. But like I said before, patience. You want everything now, and you want everything to be fixed, and it feels weird, and putting all this stuff on my hair and choking down all these supplements. And but I think that I felt positive. I felt encouraged because I knew that it wasn't just, you weren't trying to just from the outside fix my hair situation, mm-hmm. that it was going deeper into what really needed to be fixed. And I think that's why I was able to stick with it like I have so far to this point.
Yes. And you said, you know, digging deeper, finding the root cause. And mm-hmm. you mentioned the supplements, the handful of supplements you're still taking. We do not, Kimberly and I, do not just prescribe supplements to everybody. With you, we ran, we checked for nutrition deficiencies because we know hypothyroidism or any thyroid disorders actually lead to nutrition deficiencies. And that's why we checked for selenium and omegas and zinc and iron. And we found actually with you that you had high levels of selenium. And studies do show that selenium, too much selenium can cause hair loss. Mm. And the reason I brought that mineral up because a lot of people, as soon as they see thinning of hair or hair loss, they run to Walgreens and they buy everything that says hair, hair, nail, skin, and selenium. Most people know that biotin, right? Biotin and selenium, those are the two you need to take. Well, it backfires. So we stop the selenium with you. We don't just guess. We test and we make sure that you're on the right supplements. And of course, with you, we addressed stomach acid, low stomach acid, because a hypothyroidism can cause low stomach acid. And if you have that condition, you're not absorbing all the handfuls of vitamins you're taking. So there are certain foods and drinks and the proper order of things you can eat and do. You can eat that can help with stomach acid. So yes, it was a long process with you, but it was very personalized. Mm-hmm. I think because you gave us 100% of your attention and willingness, that's why you were successful.
Well, and the other thing that I knew about it, I had heard about it, but I didn't pay any attention to it because I figured it didn't apply to me, was the gut health. And then you explained that whole thing to me, and I'm like, wow, she really knows way more. I mean, I thought I was pretty in tune with my body and myself, other than I knew my eating and my nutrition was really off. But that was another thing in the past. I'd always like, I need a probiotic. I didn't know why I needed a probiotic, but everybody said you need a probiotic. Yes. But every time I would try to take one, my stomach was so upset. And so I said to you, and you said, you need to take a probiotic. I can't do a probiotic because it makes my stomach hurt.
Well, yes, of course you were very resistant to it.
I was. But you coached me through it. You helped me find the right one. You helped me figure out the dosage. And now I am very happy to say I'm up to 2 probiotic pills a day with no stomach problems.
Yes, a lot of people that work with me, they come to me that we all are, or they all think that they're experts in nutrition. And that is true because you have been eating your whole life, right? Every day you're making decisions. So you feel like you're an expert, but there's obviously a missing link. Mm-hmm. And that's why somebody like me spends five years in school, because we're putting that puzzle together. We're not just learning about probiotic or what foods, the good foods and bad foods. I hate those words, but but yes, with you, the gut health is so, so important, and how probiotics actually affect hair growth and just everything that comes with it, with stomach acid and absorption of vitamins and minerals. They're so important for our hair growth.
So we're going to let you think a little bit more about all the opportunities that you have for hair growth. And Natalia and I are so excited to continue to treat you forever, we hope. Even when we release you and you say, okay, Kimberly, I have all the hair that I need, we're going to make sure that we follow up with you at least once a quarter every 6 months. But I think more importantly than anything is share with the listeners, what is one thing, a piece of advice that you would offer to someone that is experiencing either one of the forms of hair loss that you did or both?
I think the biggest thing is to know that you can do something about it. I just assumed it was stress. It would come back. I would take my over-the-counter whatever. And that there are people out there who specialize in these things that, you know, devote their careers to understanding why you are having hair loss. And had I not had hair loss, I would still be thinking that it's okay to be losing my hair because it's genetic. Mm-hmm. And it's just more that you can do something about it. And while it might feel kind of overwhelming in the beginning and like that's never going to work because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, now that I've gone through the process with everything, it's definitely taught me patience mm-hmm. and to not use Dr. Google as my main source of information, because it's, well, we know how it's not very effective. But just to know that there is help out there, and just to be patient and ask questions and do as you're told. And if they tell you don't drink coffee, then switch to decaf. but I think that's just really it. It's more so just reach out and find the help, and then don't be afraid to go beyond what the common knowledge is as far as treating hair loss.
Jonna, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I'm sure you've helped our listeners to kind of guide them in the right direction. We, Kimberly and I, we learned so much from you, because you're very unique. And like I said, you're like a puzzle that we put together, that everything now makes sense. And even though you still have a long road ahead of you, you know you're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know that you have people beside you that can guide you and help you. So just make sure you continue to do exactly everything you were doing, because you're such a success story. Yes, and thank you for helping us grow and learn from you, and thank you for helping our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. It's actually very cathartic to talk about it and know that there's other people out there who have the same condition, but that there is help. So thank you.